Let us turn to Numbers chapter 1 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles. From 20 years old and upward, all who are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thy word is God-breathed, inspired by thine Holy Spirit. We thank thee, O Lord, every word, every tittle found in the scriptures is according to thine Spirit's guidance. And Lord, nothing is amiss, whether it is a word that we think not important, or something that we think not significant. But Lord, we know that everything that is listed in thine word is inspired of thee. And we thank thee, Lord, for the numbers that thou hast listed in thy scriptures, that every number put down there, recorded for us, is significant and means meanings to us. Lord, we thank you. And as we study these numbers in the book of Numbers, we do pray that our faith in thyself and in thine word may be much strengthened, because we ask these things, asking thy Spirit help and guidance to lead and guide us into these difficult parts of the scriptures, in order to understand the amazing word that we have in our hands. We thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At present, all of you are studying the book of Numbers. And when I was asked to speak on this book of Numbers, I was asked to speak, I was wondering what topic to deal with. But when I knew that you were studying the book of Numbers, I thought I would go into the book of Numbers itself, but not to repeat what you have been taught. I'm sure you have been well edified, but perhaps to touch on certain parts in the book of Numbers that normally, if you are a normal person, you would read the first verse and after that you would skip the rest of the passage. And a typical passage will be chapters 1 to 4. After having read chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, I think from verse 5 onwards, you will just skip through very, very quickly. And that's why perhaps the speaker for that morning was given 4 chapters at one time, so that he could cover the book of Numbers. I think for me, I have been given 2 sessions, I would not be able to cover chapters 1 to 4 in 2 sessions. I may even need more. However, before I continue with all the other side things, let me just go straight into it, because I need the time. Alright, it's interesting to note that the last time I was here, I was speaking to you on the tabernacle. And I was talking to you about the garments of the high priest. I had no time to talk to you about the consecration of the high priest in connection with the tabernacle series. I have to leave that out. Today, I have to bring you back to the tabernacle. Because Numbers, the book of Numbers, is based on Exodus as well. The beginnings of what we read in the book of Numbers are found in the tabernacle instructions. So we need to go back to the tabernacle. Firstly, what do we know about the title? The Hebrew title of the book of Numbers is actually In the Wilderness. It is not Numbers. It is In the Wilderness. And this book, now that you have studied up to chapter 26, you will have discovered is a record of the children of Israel in the wilderness. For example, chapters 1 to 10 will be the preparation to go out of Sinai, to depart from Sinai, and to go into the wilderness. And chapters 11 to 21 will find the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Or, to be more precise, 38 years. Because chapters, the earlier chapters, only covered about 1.5 months of the wilderness journey. And the last part will be from chapter 25, 26 to the rest of the book. That will cover their preparation to go into the promised land. So, it is aptly called In the Wilderness. However, the Greek translation of the Old Testament part of Numbers gave the title Arithmoi. That's where you get the word arithmetic. And that would mean numbers. The Greek translation, the Septuagint, was very well recognized by the people. And they took on this title, Arithmoi, Numbers. And when we have the Latin Vulgate of the translation, we find the title was changed into Numbers. And that's where we have the English translation, Numbers. Alright? So the original title would have been In the Wilderness. As for Leviticus, the original title would have been the first few words of Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord said, not Leviticus. Right, because we have to go back to the tabernacle, let me recall some things about the tabernacle too. Now, today's study will be on the foundation and the floor of the tabernacle. But I think I do not have time to discuss the floor of the tabernacle. So I shall deal mainly with the foundation first. Then the next time I see you, which will be 2 weeks from now, not next week, because next week I have to be with the single Christians at the Assembly Fellowship Camp. So I shall be there next Sunday, but I'll be back after that to speak to you on part 2, the numbers in numbers that you would like to skip, but they are so very important, as you will see today. The first thing we would like to deal with will be the foundation of silver in the tabernacle. Now, we'll refer to the verses in my slide, Exodus 26, 15 to 25, 36, 20 to 30, and so on, with regard to the foundation of the tabernacle, which was silver, later on. Now, just a bit of recapitulation and background. You will remember that the tabernacle was composed of three areas. The outer part, the outer court. Then you have the tabernacle itself, which was divided into the holy place and the holy of holies by a veil. Now, this structure of the tabernacle was made of boards, and each board would stand on two sockets of silver. Eighty sockets under 40 boards. On the north would be here. This would be the east. The gate would always be facing the east. Here would be the north. I'm sorry, this part would be the north. This is the east, this would be the north. And this would be the south. 20 boards will give you 40 boards. And on the west side will be 8 boards. This side, 8 boards. 20, 20, 40, 40 boards. One board standing on two sockets, because of two tenons, therefore 80 sockets. Then there will be 16 sockets under 8 boards. On the west side, there will be 8 boards, as you will read in Exodus chapter 36. I'm sorry, as you will read in Exodus chapter 36 is now. And then for the veil, you remember, has got 4 pillars. 1, 2, 3, 4. And these 4 pillars would stand on sockets of silver. But here we find that it's different, as we read in Exodus chapter 36. Now, because this is a Bible study, I'd like you to turn to the references. And that will give me time, and also give you time to understand what we are talking, and will slow me down. Otherwise, I will go like a jet plane. 36, 35, and 36. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. Verse 36, he made thereunto 4 pillars of acacia wood, last part, and he cast for them 4 sockets of silver. Okay, so you see there are 4 pillars here, and these 4 pillars would stand on 4 sockets, each pillar 1 socket. And therefore there were 4 sockets under 4 pillars. Now, total 80, 16 and 4 will be 100. 100 sockets. Now we know that 100 sockets will be 100 talents of silver, because in chapter 38, verses 25 to 27, that is 25 to 27, especially verse 27, we find a talent for a socket. So if there were 100 sockets, there would be 100 talents of silver, very heavy. So there should be a strong foundation for the tabernacle of silver. Now, that is confirmed for us in Exodus 38 and verse 27. 28 and verse 27. Alright? Now let's go on from there. 100 is made up of other numbers, 4 times 5 times 5. Now we have no time to study the significance of numbers in numbers. Numbers are important. Numbers have a symbolic meaning. 1, the number of unity. 2, duality. 3, trinity. 4, universality. And 5 is a number of grace. Grace. And so we find 100 talents will be 4 times 5 times 5, the number of universal grace in redemption. This is to imply that in redemption there was grace being demonstrated. Now, this silver, where did it come from? If we look at Exodus chapter 38, verses 25 to 28, we'll have an idea. Right, I'd like you to turn to Exodus 38 now, because we are going to spend some time there. Now look at verse 26. A becker for every man, that is half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that went to be numbered, from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men, and so on. This means that this money, which is known as redeemed money, would, which was silver, would be used to make the foundation of the tabernacle. So it came from the ransom money. I'll explain more about the ransom money afterwards. Now look at the population of the males above 20 as numbered. Look at verse 26. No, sorry, verse 25. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,703 talents. Alright. Numbers chapter 1. No. Numbers chapter 1, verse 45. Let us look at the numbers. Numbers chapter 1, verse 45. So were all these who were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all who were able to go forth to war in Israel, even all they who were numbered were 600,000. Please note, 600,000, 3,555. Alright, that's where you have this number. From Numbers 1:45 and 46, confirmed for us in chapter 2 and verse 32. They are those who were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those who were numbered of the camp throughout their hosts were 600,000, 3,550. Now, since you have studied Numbers already, you will know that this was the first numbering. In other words, the number of the children of Israel above 20 who could go to war, males, who would prepare themselves to depart from Sinai to go into the wilderness and later on to reach the promised land. So that was the number. But I'd like you to look at chapter 26, verse 51, which you studied only last week. Now that will be the second numbering. Chapter 26 and verse 51, and you will find the number to be 600,000, 1,730. 600,000, 1,730. Now, what happened? How was it that these two numbers do not coincide? This was the first numbering of males above 20 who could go to war. This would be the second numbering after the wilderness journey of males over 20 who go to war. What happened? There is a discrepancy of I deleted that. Now, if you compare the two numbers together, you will find that it would be short of 1,820. Now, why is the Bible at fault? Is there an error? No. Because this was the number before the wilderness journey. This was a number after the wilderness journey. If during the wilderness journey, all the adults above 20 died because they refused to go into the promised land. They had no faith. Only Caleb and Joshua were alive. So this number would be a second generation, including Joshua any talent. And it was found to be less than 1,820. Alright, so keep in mind, this is the second generation, while this was the first generation. All those who refused to believe and to trust in God, all of them were executed. They died in the wilderness. Only two who believed, they went through the wilderness journey. Look at Exodus 38:26. Back to Exodus 38:26. In Exodus 38:26, we read, "A beggar for every man that is half a shekel, after the shekel of the century, for everyone that went to be numbered, from 20 years old and upward, 6,000 and 3,555. You see, the number was correct. Even in Exodus, same as in Numbers. Let's go on. Now, in Exodus, we have the instructions concerning this number that was to be numbered above 20 and who were fit for war. There is such a thing as the ransom money, the price of ransom. Every one of them, of the 603,000, had to be redeemed with half a shekel of silver. Now, half a shekel of silver times 603,550 will give you 305,775 shekels. Alright? I hope I've done my arithmetic well. Exodus 38:27. We read, "And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the century, and the sockets of the wheel, 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a silver." Now, from the money that was, the silver that was collected, 100 talents were used for the sockets. And we are told that one talent will be about 3,000 shekels. So, altogether, we would have 300,000 shekels. Now, 300,000 shekels, together with the 301,000, together with what we read now in chapter 38, verse 28, "And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars." These talents were the ones that were used to make the foundation for the boards. The rest were used to make, you remember the tabernacle at the top, there were pillars and or caps of silver, fillets of silver. And so that was used for the fillets. So you see, everything was covered for in the scriptures. The rest for hooks and pillars. So that will be 1,775, and you find, as you find in chapter 28 and verse 25, it says there, everyone that went to be numbered was, sorry, a beggar for every man. Reading verse 26, it should be 25. "And the silver of them were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, 1,700, 70 and 15 shekels. 1,700, 70 will be 60, and 15, 75. That will give you the rest of the silver that was collected to make the fillets and the hooks for the tabernacle. So together, 301,775 sin. Alright? So you see, every shekel was accounted for in the construction of the tabernacle. We learned that the money, the source of the silver, came from the ransom money. We also learned the population of the males above 20 that were numbered, about the price of the ransom, half a shekel. Now, let us come to the principle of collection. How was the money, how was the silver collected? Exodus chapter 28 and verse 36, a beka for every man. A beka is half a shekel, as we read here. Everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward for 600,000 and 3,555. Okay. Now, the principle is very clear. Half a shekel was to be collected from each. Every one of those numbered above 20, the males above 20, each one has to be ransomed for half a shekel. Now that reminds us of what is taught in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and 19, where we have the substance of this shadow pictured even in the Old Testament, that we are redeemed not by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was just a picture to point to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, that was in the Old Testament, silver was used, but it was pointing to the real thing, the substance, when it would be the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich shall not pay more, the poor shall not pay less, as we read chapter 30 verse 11. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul. And thou, when thou numberest them, thou, that there be no plague among them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of century. A shekel is 20 gerahs. Half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering from the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less. Half a shekel. Now, this is a very important principle established from the very beginning regard to the collection of the ransom money. The rich cannot pay more. The poor cannot pay less. That's God's standard. And that should remind us of the teaching on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We are saved not by works. We are saved by grace. Not by works, lest any man should boast. And so we see that we have to abide by God's standard for ransom if we ever want to be redeemed. The standard was the shekel in the century. Now this shekel, the standard, would be kept in the sanctuary itself, in the tabernacle. Because otherwise, other people could use their own standards of shekel, their own ideas of shekel, their own shekels, and then use that as a standard. No. If there was any inquiry or any argument, it would ever go back to that shekel in the sanctuary. It was a standard. And that should remind us of the teaching in John chapter 4 and verse 6, where Christ said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the standard." Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says that there is no other name among men whereby man can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. That is the standard. And so we see the standard established. There is no argument about it. If anybody argues, we always go back to the standard. And the standard in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. The standard in the Old Testament was the shekel in the century. And it is called ransomed money. Please note chapter 30 and verse 12. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul. It is a ransom for the soul. Ransom. In other words, we were under slaves. We were slaves before, under bondage to sin. But now we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are set free. And the price to be paid was called ransom money. Ransom for the soul. It's a price that was personally fixed by the Lord Himself in verse 15, where we read, "The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not pay less." The price was the same for all, no prejudice. Again, the man, the rich shall not pay more, the poor shall not pay less. And reminds of us of Romans chapter 3 verse 1, 9 to 12 and verse 23, that all have sinned and all will have to pay the same price. The price was for each individual person. It says everyone in chapter 30 and verse 14. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old. Everyone. Every individual. No one among them can pay on behalf of the other. Everyone has to pay for himself. And of course, that reminds us of John chapter 6 verse 37, where the Lord promised that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, every individual can be redeemed. Now, what is the significance of this silver? Firstly, it is the price of life. In fact, this word silver has been used a number of times in scripture to be translated into money. Alright? It is money. It was the price of Joseph. Genesis 37:28. You would know that Joseph was sold for 20 silver pieces. You would know also, and you could recall, that Jesus Christ was sold by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. You read about that in Matthew 26:15, and Exodus 21:32 tells us that it is the price of a slave. For example, if a slave has a cow or a bull that galls a person to death, then the owner will have to pay compensation. And the compensation is 30 pieces of silver. It is the price of a cow, a dead cow, slain, or a slave. It is the payment also for freedom from the plague of death. Exodus 30 verse 12 tells us that we need, that the people needed to pay the ransom money, otherwise they would not escape from the plague of death. And Romans 6:23 tells us that all have sinned and all are pronounced dead. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we also note that it is also known as the ransom price of the soul, as we read in chapter 30 and verse 12. Then they shall give every man a ransom for his soul. And that of course to remind us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19, we are not redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also the payment for propitiation. Chapter 30 and verse 15, we read, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, the rich shall not pay, shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for the soul. And I like you to know, please, in every single instance, it is the soul that is mentioned. A ransom for the soul. An atonement for the soul. It is the soul that is in question. Our souls are dead insofar as God is concerned when we sin against Him. And therefore, we need to get a ransom to pay for the atonement of the soul. It is a payment for the freedom from the plague of death, from the ransom price of the soul, for the propitiation or atonement of the soul, and also for the peculiar or special redemption for the odd number of firstborn. Now let's look at Numbers chapter 3. There's an odd number there of firstborn. Numbers chapter 3. And you would have studied that in chapters 1 to 4 in your earlier study of Numbers. Numbers 3:48 and 49. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number, look please, the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Now, there is this odd number that must be redeemed. This odd number, the money for the redemption of this odd number must be given to Aaron and to his sons, priests. And therefore Moses did what was told. Now, what is this odd number of firstborn that must be redeemed? Right? I think you may have an idea of it because you have studied it already, since you have already covered chapter 26. Just as a lesson, before I go on to show you what is this odd number, please note that the money collected was given to Aaron and his priests and his sons to be priests, as it were. And that's why if we are to be born into the kingdom of priests, we must be redeemed. We are a kingdom of priests in chapter 2 verses 5 and 9 when we read that we are royal priests and we are holy priests. We are a kingdom of priests. And we need to be redeemed in order to be holy priests and royal priests. And of course, the precious blood of Christ is the one that redeems us. Right, now let's go on back to Numbers to find out about this odd number. Which money would then be used for or be given to Aaron and the priests. Numbers chapter 3, verse 48 and verse 49. We read the two verses just now. Now here are the principles that we need to understand. I am happy that you have already studied Numbers, and therefore you will know what I refer to. All firstborn of the males of Israel from 1 month old belong to the Lord. Chapter 3 and verse 40. Chapter 3 and verse 40. The Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from 1 month old and upward, and take the number of their names. Every child, the firstborn in the family, born into the family, must be numbered and the name registered and kept, because that child must be ransomed. That child must be redeemed. I'll tell you why afterwards. Second thing, all Levites belong to the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 45. We read, the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And so you have, one, all firstborn babies, 1 month old and above, must be redeemed. Two, on the other side, all Levites belong to the Lord. The Levites would be used to redeem the firstborn. Verse 41. And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. Alright. Now let's get very clear now. This is a very important principle and lesson. What? You remember, after the Passover, when the firstborn of all Egypt was slain, and the firstborn of Israel escaped the judgment, because of the blood that was sprinkled upon the lintel of the house of the family. Now, when God said in Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, He came up with the law. Yes, it is down there. He came up with the law. Male firstborn of Israel and firstborn of cattle to be redeemed by the Levites and their cattle. Let me refer you to Exodus chapter 13. And you see this law enacted. Exodus chapter 13, just after the Passover. The Passover will be Exodus 12. And chapter 13 and verse 1 we read, "The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of men and beasts. It is mine." Now, what does it mean? It means this. By right, every child that is born, 1 month old, must be sacrificed to the Lord. Must be sacrificed to the Lord as an offering. All firstborn belong to God. And that's why, with regard to Egyptians, the firstborn were all slain. But with regard to the Israelites, the firstborn would be sacrificed. And not only firstborn of men, but also firstborn of beasts. But God would not be that cruel to kill firstborn like just like that. Therefore, they must be redeemed. And that's where the principle of redemption comes about. And what is redemption? Redemption is when another one takes the place of the other. And that's where we read chapter 3 and verse 45, Numbers. Chapter 3, verse 45. "Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord." Please notice the word "instead." Very important. Instead. The firstborn must die. They must be sacrificed. But don't do it. The Levites, who belong to me, they will have no inheritance among Israelites. I am their inheritance. They will replace every firstborn. Hope you get it right. Every Levite would replace every firstborn. And every beast belonging to the Levite would replace every firstborn beast. So that is the principle. A very, very important principle of redemption. The odd number more than the Levites to be redeemed by 5 shekels of silver. Alright, now we come to odd number. I said just now, every firstborn child must be replaced, must substituted to be right by every Levite. But what happens if the number of firstborn child was more than the number of Levites? What happened? That is the odd number. If the number of firstborn will be less than the number of Levites, no problem. But if the number of the firstborn was more than the number of the Levites, then the extra number, the additional number of the firstborn would have no replacement. Are you getting me? Are you following me? They would have no replacement. So, would they therefore not be redeemed at all? No. This odd number, this extra, could be redeemed. How could they be redeemed when there was no more Levite to redeem them? Let's look at chapter 3, verses 46 to 51. The calculation of the odd number. Alright? Let me show you in actual implementation of this. Once you understand the principle, now let's see how it was practiced. Number of males over 20 able to go to war. We learned just now, it was 600,000 and 3,550 males. Chapter 1, verses 45 to 46. Number born after the firstborn law. 22,273, chapter 3, verse 43. Look at chapter 3, verse 43. "And all the firstborn males, by the number of names, from a month old and upward, of those who were numbered of them, were 22,200, 60, and 13. 22,273 firstborn males. Recorded. Alright. as we find in Leviticus and Numbers chapter 3. Now, 603,550 meals, I pointed out to you just now, recorded earlier in chapter 1. Chapter 1 would be before the wilderness. And then suddenly there's a discrepancy, therefore, of nearly 600,000 between this number and that number. Firstborn males would of course grow up to become males over 20 years old. There is a discrepancy here. So what happened? Well, we explained in this way. Number of firstborn males, 22,273, as we had discussed just now. Number of Levites, 22,000. Look at chapter 3, verse 39. All who were numbered of the Levites, when Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of all the males from a month old and upward, 22,000. Alright? Now, I have already explained this, that the number here would be after the implementation of the firstborn law, chapter 13 just now. Alright? So, number of firstborn males now, after the announcement, the pronouncement of the firstborn law, all firstborn belong to me, 22,000. Number of Levites, sorry, I should give you a full number. The number of firstborn males, 22,273. Number of Levites, 22,000. Okay. Odd number, therefore, a quick mental sum will tell you, must be 273. These 273 babies had no Levites to replace them. Are you getting me the picture now? No Levites to replace them, because the number of firstborn was more than the number of Levites, by 273. So what should be done? These 273 had to be redeemed by silver, for every child 5 shekels. Chapter 4 and verse 46. And those who are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than. And then we read verse 15. Of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,303 and 5 shekels after the shekel of the century. So for each one extra must be redeemed by 5 shekels. So altogether, that's where I read this down, verse 50, 1,365 shekels. 273 times 5, you get 1,365 shekels. And these 1,365 shekels was extra money taken from the odd number. Alright, very quickly, let me just go through to apply all this. This whole idea of the numbering, as we read in Numbers, numbering of the firstborn, numbering of the males, is a picture, even from the very beginning of redemption, that we can only, in the Old Testament, when before the Lord Jesus Christ came, they had to be redeemed by precious things like silver. But today, we are not redeemed by precious things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle stood, therefore, on a foundation of silver. And it reminds us, therefore, that the church also stands on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19-22. Redeemed money, ransomed money. The board stands on sockets of silver. It reminds us of the Christian. Each board represents a Christian standing on sockets of silver. And that's the picture of the Lord, of the Christian standing on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in 2 Timothy 2:19 and so on. I think I have no time for this. All right. Let me just go through what we had learned. The practice of substitution. The situation, number of firstborn Israel, 22,273. Number of Levites, 22,000. Odd number, 273. Substitution for every one of the 22,000, a Levite was substituted. For the remaining 273, 5 shekels of silver were paid as redemption money. And I hope you get a picture. And with this also, you'll find how accurate Bible records are. The significance, the Levite for the firstborn. Each must believe for oneself. Every Levite to replace every firstborn. So each believer, each person must believe for oneself. A one-to-one substitution. The 5 shekels for the firstborn is a gracious redemption, saved by grace. Christ paid with his life, the silver, and the offer was very gracious. The 5 shekels. 5 is number of grace. Alright. We come on to the trumpets, the next lesson. So, what have we learned from here? Just very simply this. That the importance and significance of substitution was not imagined or implemented impromptu, but it was planned from the foundation before the world even, that the Lord Jesus Christ must be slain, his precious blood must be shed in order that we might be substituted and we might be ransomed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what thy word has taught us. And in those seemingly difficult passages in thy word, we thank you for the depth of teaching we can find in it. We do pray that thou would give us a studious mind and an inquiry, curiosity to look into thy word, to study and to stand upon thy word, to be firm and established in thy word, that we may always be sure that we are standing on firm ground, standing on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for us in ransom and atonement for us. We thank you, Lord. We give you thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.